Perhaps unlike any other, or at least most other holiday celebrations, New Year's and New Year's Eve leave me feeling, I guess, conflicted is the word. There's a lot going on, right? It can be a fun chance to gather with family and friends to mark a moment in time. It can be fascinating to consider just how many people throughout the world are celebrating the same thing at different times. For some, the challenge to stay awake till midnight proves too daunting, and the New Year's Eve night becomes just like any other night. For some of us, it is a chance to say goodbye to a year that held many personal challenges or losses, and to have some hope for a new year ahead. There is some excitement and some hope, some good that comes out of this time of year, some out of its celebrations. But in this season, more than just that night on December 31st, the messages that fill our email inboxes, the messages that fill every sign and radio ad, are troubling to me. Start this new diet and you can transform into the new you. Join this new gym and your life and your person will be changed forever. Make this change in your lifestyle and you'll never regret it. I suppose exercise and diet, a new approach to life's challenges, to our complicated relationships that we share, are possibly a good thing. They usually are. But to do so, to resolve to do this and not to do so, does not change who you and I are at our very being. It does not and cannot shift our identity at our core. It does not change the way that God sees us as loved unconditionally with nothing we can do about it, as redeemed and forgiven, as known and called. So in this season, I find myself feeling the joy and hope of a chance to take on life in a different way. I'm excited about what's coming ahead, having experienced the past and learned, hopefully. But in all honesty, in all that we hear this time of year, it is so easy to become lost in unfounded and empty promises of transformation. We might lose weight. We might learn a new strategy for life. But in these things, we do not find our true identity. We do not find deep value, even though that is what we are being told. Instead, we find our true identity and calling in our relationship with our God, our Creator, and our Redeemer. And this cannot be changed or altered, no matter what we do or resolutions we take on. The story that we have today from the Gospel of Luke is one that we get this time of year, not just because of New Year's. In fact, it has nothing to do with that. But it is a story of Jesus' growth as a person. It's a logical follow on the birth story that we've just recently heard. It is, in fact, the only story in the Gospels that we get between Jesus' birth as a baby and his life as an adult. In it, we hear Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, are being faithful Jews, as they are every year, and they made the trip to the temple for the feast of the Passover, as all faithful Jews would have. When this was over, they left to go home, and Jesus, seemingly unbeknownst to them, stays behind. Likely there would have been crowds, or perhaps there was another reason he gets lost, but it's hard to say. Nobody really knows, so nobody can really speculate with any great authority. But either way, he becomes separated. So Mary and Joseph return 3 days later to the temple to find Jesus in discussions with the leaders and the teachers. Mary tells Jesus they've been searching for him frantically. They've been looking all over with great anxiety. And I love Jesus' response because I just want to know the tone of his voice here. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? I can imagine that Mary would say something like, why? And Mary and Joseph are perplexed but they're like my family, and so with a hint of conflict, they drop the conversation, and we don't hear what happens. But one question for us today might be, what is it about this space and time and place that Jesus needed to be there? What was so necessary for Jesus to be in the temple? Would he have gained something by being there? Or was he just mixing it up with the teachers, just causing trouble? Why must he be there? I suppose there are probably many answers to this question. One would be that the temple was the hub of all societal activity. So everything flowed through there, and if Jesus wanted to just be among the people, he would be there. Some people suggested this story foreshadows the later stories that we hear around Good Friday and Easter, where Jesus is lost for 3 days and is found at the end of the 3 days, 3 days in the tomb. But the temple is also a place of connection with God. It is a holy place. It is the holiest of places. Every minor and major religious feast, every act of devotion would have taken place here. For Jews, it is actually the physical location in which God dwells on earth. The temple was a place of communion with God, of connection with the divine that was really only possible in that place. In that sense, the temple was a signpost among the chaos and confusion of the world, reminding folks of their relationship with God. So perhaps Jesus needed to be there to both know and proclaim this truth as he continued to grow and learn about and proclaim his identity as the Son of God and Savior of the world. The church in its many forms, I suppose in its buildings, but even more in its people gathered in the body of Christ in service of neighbor, functions in much the same way for you and I think. We come to this place, we are in relationship with each other, with fellow travelers along the journey, because we need to be reminded that we are loved. We need to be reminded when we doubt. We need to be reassured that everything will be okay and that God is still present. We see this as a signpost that leads us back amongst all the other signs that wish to steer us in wrong directions. We can connect to the God in whom we find our true identity as beloved children, a fact unchangeable by any promise of transformation that we hear nowadays. I am confident that I've told you this story before. Ellen reassures me that I have, but I'm going to tell it again. So here it comes. Ellen and I were hiking in Maryland when we lived in Northern Virginia. We lived in Northern Virginia when I was in seminary, and so we went hiking in Maryland one time with some friends. We had been to this place before, but on this particular occasion, we were lost. We were standing on the road that we were sure we had just come in on. We were pretty sure if we would just walk 5 or 10 minutes that way over that little hill, we would end up in the parking lot, which is what we were looking for, by the way. We had been following colored signposts that along the way that had kept us otherwise not lost until that particular moment. We thought we were close to the car. We were pretty sure of it. But we weren't that sure because we turned around and went back up the mountain. We knew if we came back the way we came, we would get there, right? Well, that was true, but we ended up climbing the highest part of the mountain on the steepest path that required stairs and yielded a beautiful view, but was the hardest hike I've ever done. We come down the other side right into the parking lot. Get in the car, we drive down the road. A few minutes later, we pass the place we had just been standing in the road a little bit ago. Signposts along the way, amidst confusion and chaos and distracting messages, amongst self-doubt, amongst all of those things, keep us going in the right direction. To help us to trust our sense of direction, to affirm that we are headed in the right way, they steer us in the direction we intended to go, and they themselves are steady and constant and always right. Our faith and our relationship with God, found in the church, found in each other as the body of Christ, found in serving our neighbors in need. All of these things serve to remind us of who and whose we are. When we think we know where we are going on this faith journey but begin to doubt ourselves, we are steered back to the truth. When we begin to believe that stuff or possessions or whatever else it might be for you will sustain and fulfill us, God lovingly welcomes us back. When the world says we can find our true and new selves in a diet or resolution, we are invited to remember that God loved us before we made that resolution and loves us even when we break it or keep it. God's love and God's mercy and God's promises for all of us do not fade, they do not change. And in these we find our steady signposts along the journey. Our sense of identity can get lost among the feeling that we always need to look better or feel better or be better or whichever better. The feeling is one that is perpetuated constantly. We can begin to feel lost, as though we can't find our way out. And so in these moments, we are invited to return to the deepest truth of our lives. We are told, we are given God in Christ as a signpost for our lot. These signs don't change, so even when we feel lost, even when we aren't sure where we are going, God is constant, God is present. And so we, like Mary and Joseph, are called to seek out Jesus. We are called to seek him out, to search, knowing that God is always there to be found or refound, and that in God we come just to know who we are. If somebody were to ask you, what is your identity at its core, you might give different answers. Some of you are parents. Some of you are grandparents. Some of you don't have kids. Some of you are a child. Some of you have siblings or are a sibling. Some of you are a godparent. Some of you are a widow. Some of you are divorced. Some of you are married. But all of us have the same identity at its foundation. This is one that will always be true and will never change. So if you haven't heard it in a while, or if you're feeling lost, or if you just need to be reminded, let me. You are a child of God, deeply loved and deeply known. You are forgiven, and you are invited to receive God's mercy that is boundless. And in all these things, we are called to be witnesses. No new resolution or diet can perfect or redeem us. None of it can love us. None of it can forgive us. None of it makes us who we are. And so we are invited to be witnesses to the truth of our being. I would invite you this year to make a resolution to let our lives in word and action each day, let everybody we meet know this deep truth. Amen.